We're going to start off with Tim Bryce. He is a freelance writer. He lives in the Tampa Bay area. So maybe this time of year it's pretty hot and humid there, but most of the year he probably is the envy of most of our listeners because of the weather and so forth. But he's the envy also because he's just an expert on all kinds of important topics, politics, just our legal system, the whole nine yards. He writes for the Washington Times, and he has a great blog entitled "The Bryce Is Right." But we're going to talk with him about the 1776 pledge to save our schools, something that South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem referenced when she spoke last week at CPAC. And I think it's a very interesting point. And I think most of our viewers and listeners, probably every last one of them, would agree with this 1776 proposal, which is really, I think, used to be just what Americans believed. That America's a great country. Our founders have started something really awesome. But all of a sudden now, that's controversial. But anyhow, we'll have that controversial conversation with Tim Bryce. And then we've also got Jeff Cruer, who is he's the host of Ringside Politics. That airs regularly in New Orleans. He's a political columnist, and he's also the author of America's Last Chance. So we're going to talk with him about the Biden crime family and the corruption that exists in the Biden family, that continues to exist, that has not yet gone away. We were told that, A, there was no corruption there, and B, that if there was, there'd be no more. Guess what? They were not telling the truth on either. But I do want to come out and defend Joe Biden and this one thing. I totally believe him when he said this. He said that Hunter Biden was the smartest man he knew. And I think that's probably true. I think that Hunter is the smartest man that Joe Biden knows. I don't think that Hunter Biden's very smart. I'm just saying that I don't think Joe Biden knows many smart people. I don't think he hangs out with many smart people. I mean, look who his VP is. This is a guy who surrounded himself. Look at his press secretary. Look at his cabinet. He has surrounded himself with subpar people. So, of course, Hunter is a genius compared to the crowd he's surrounded himself with.
Well, speaking of geniuses, we and I say that tongue-in-cheek, we kind of had a little clip in the first half about Dr. Fauci. I'm getting some vibe out here in Nevada, and I'm kind of wanting to know if you're getting the same vibe, that we're going to go into another lockdown, that they're starting to stir this up, that this variant is a big deal, and that they're now talking about, oh, we've got more than 2,000 new cases, and now you can get it from animals, this new variant. There's a guy in Texas that's been bit by an animal, and they're calling it monkeypox, and it's the same thing. And I got through having a discussion about what are we going to do at the second time around? Is there going to be a second time around? And how are we going to react to that one? Because certainly we were told a bunch of lies the first time around.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's part of the plan, to be honest with you. 2020 worked out fairly well for the left. I mean, I know they crashed the economy, but their main goal, they don't mind doing that because casualties don't matter to them. If they could acquire power by killing half the population, they'd be a swap in their mind. I mean, these are people who are amoral. I don't mean everybody who votes Democratic. I'm talking about the leadership. I'm talking about the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, the Chuck Schumer's. These are people who just don't care. And so, but they, the bottom line as I see it is, 2022 is going to be a really rough year for them unless they can do something to change their stars. And the way they can change that would be to repeat, rinse and repeat, you know, the 2020 thing. So I think we're going to see a rebound. I'm not saying we'll actually have a rebound. I'm saying it will be portrayed as such. For example, with the Delta virus, the Delta variant, while it's more communicable, more easily communicable, it's less serious. It manifests much more similarly to kind of like a summer cold. But they don't tell you that. They act like it's more serious and more communicable. Not true. And then on top of that, to be honest, the whole thing we did was all wrong. in 2020. So what we should have done in 2020 is what they did, quite frankly, in Florida, which is you protect your at-risk populations, the elderly, people who have other, contributing factors that would make it a problem, protect them, and then let everyone else go about their business. And then it spreads among them. And like with me, I got it. My sons got it. They got it at Costco, working at Costco. It basically, I felt kind of subpar for about a week. I kind of felt tired. I kind of felt, it was not a big deal. And then I was immune. And that spreads like wildfire through the general population of healthy people. That's a good thing, not a bad thing, because then all those people are no longer potential carriers, potential spreaders, and that every time another person gets it and gets better, the at-risk population is less at risk.
And well, we were talking.
But they don't tell you that. They act like, and they keep telling you, numbers are going up. Oh, no, no. It's like, no, hospitalizations are not going up. Deaths are not going up. What's going up? Oh, there might be a few more people getting sick. But that's actually means that more people now have immunity.
Well, I thought that all of these guys that got this vaccination were supposed to be immune, and yet I see them wearing the mask. They don't believe the vaccination that they got truly vaccinated them. And here's something more troubling. Indiana University can require its roughly 90,000 students and 40,000 employees to get vaccinated for COVID-19 under a federal judge's ruling that might be the first of its kind regarding college immunization mandates. So now a judge, this Damon Leakey of South Bend, has decided that that's okay. You can require your students to get that vaccination, even though it looks like it doesn't work. They're saying it's a bleed through or something like that, a breakthrough virus, that if you've been vaccinated and you get COVID even after you've been vaccinated, that's just a breakthrough. Well, I never got a breakthrough polio after I got polio
vaccinated.
How about
smallpox?
How about that? Yeah, I've had smallpox vaccination too, never got a breakthrough. So yeah. So what's the deal? Really, George?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my suspicion is that the vaccine is effective for those whom it makes sense for. The problem is for college students, it doesn't make a lot of sense, because for college students, it is largely a non-factor. And some of the risk factors, things like sometimes they get some of the swelling in the arterial areas, at least temporarily, it can be, problematic. The people who are most likely to get that are actually the people who are the least likely to be affected by COVID, meaning young healthy males, for example. So 20 something males who are in good health, they're not going to die from COVID.
Right.
So why take a vaccine to protect you from something that you don't need protection from? So on some level, I think with this idea that everyone must be vaccinated is kind of like, well, let's be rational. There are people, I have a friend who got a flu vaccine and was paralyzed. That didn't turn out to be a good choice. And, so my point is we ought to take into consideration, have a doctor meet with their patient and make a decision that's good for the patient, not a decision that some yahoo in Washington thinks is a good idea. Because if you have a problem with it, it's not going to be their problem. They don't care. They're just going to go, it works most of the time, and for that's comfort.
Well, I'm finding that people don't even believe it works most of the time. Otherwise, they wouldn't be wearing masks. But then I have to say maybe they just. You can't cure stupid, because I saw a lady driving her car with her mask on, only person in the car, and you go, what? And I think you said you saw Biden doing a Zoom call, which means he was all by himself.
Yeah, he was doing a Zoom call with foreign leaders wearing a mask.
So,
I'm pretty sure it's not transmissible through your computer monitor. I'll have to check my science on that, but I don't think that's how viruses spread. Computer viruses might spread that way, but not human viruses.
Right. So like I said, you know, some of these things you just can't cure stupid. With that, we have to go to a break again. I'm Sharon Angle here with my co-host, George Landreth. And on the other side, we're going to be speaking with Tim Bryce, who's a freelance writer out of the Tampa Bay area, Florida. He hosts The Bryce Is Right, and he writes columns and has a new book out. Before You Vote, Know How Your Government Works. He's going to be talking to us about the 1776 pledge to save our schools. So don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages. Remember that we're being brought to you by the MyPillow folks there with Mike Lindell. Go to MyPillow.com. Get your 30 to 60% off by using the promo code AUNTV. And as Rick always says, we're brought to you by the First Amendment, protected by the Second Amendment. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Tim Bryce.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night, and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm gonna pass the savings directly on to you. For example, you get my six-piece towel sets, regular $109.99, now only $44.98, or MyPillow dog beds for as low as $19.99 with your promo code.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back, listeners, to the Conservative Commandos Radio Network studios. I'm Sharon Angle here with my co-host, George Landreth. We are coming to you from the MyPillow studios as well. And if you use that promotion code AUNTV, when you go to MyPillow.com, you can get a 30 to 60% discount there from Mike Lindell. And that, of course, helps us three ways. First, you're helping Mike Lindell. He's been censored. And, of course, anybody on who's been censored, we want to help because we believe in the First Amendment here at Conservative Commandos, and we think everybody's got a right to their opinion. And so you'll be helping him. You'll be helping Conservative Commandos because we get a little bit of that savings. You get the savings. Of course, that's the second way, or maybe it's the number one way for you. You get your 30 to 60% discount. But we get a piece of that to help us here at AUNTV and Conservative Commandos stay on the air because, as you know, we're an all-volunteer cast here. George and I don't get paid for this, neither does Rick. We just do it because we believe that the First Amendment is one of those things we should fight for, and one of the ways to fight is not to back down. Yep. And speaking of not backing down, we have a guest with us today that needs to be introduced. He's a not back down kind of guy. George, would you please welcome him?
Absolutely, I would. Very happy to. We have Tim Bryce. He is, he's well known for his blog entitled The Bryce Is Right, and he is. And he, of course, writes for the Washington Times, Huffington Post sometimes, and he has a new book out, Before You Vote, Know How Your Government Works. That seems like a good idea, so who could argue with that? But with that, Tim, welcome back to the Conservative Commandos. We're glad you're here.
Pleasure to be back with you folks.
Tim, we wanted to start off talking a little about the 1776 pledge, you do a lot of different stuff, so we'll have a chance to shift gears in the second part of the interview, but one of the things I find interesting about this, you mentioned in your article that Christine Noem talked about it at CPAC, but what I find interesting is I was going through and reading both your article and what the 1776 pledge is. This is a pledge that, to me, was quintessentially American, say, in 1965. In other words, almost everybody, I'm not sure that, you know, like George McGovern ran for president in 1972 against Richard Nixon. And he was, you know, at that point, probably the most liberal candidate we'd ever had run for president before. My guess is he would agree with most of this, if not all of it. Today, half this stuff is controversial. Things like America's as an exceptional nation. Or that our founding fathers and other influential leaders like Abraham Lincoln or Frederick Douglass were among the greatest Americans to live and helped create what our country is today. And you go on through all these different things, and it's like, why is this controversial?
Very good point. And just for the record, I went to elementary school in 1961 through 1966, and you're right. None of this was an issue. Everything that they talk about in these pledges was common sense. We had no big deal, anything like this. The teachers had no political agenda at that time. They did teach history. They did teach civics in elementary school, I might add. And so it was very good. So when I was on vacation up in Cincinnati and had CPAC tuned in, and when Christy Noem got up and said, oh, yeah, I've got this... I signed the pledge to save our schools. And I go, you know, wait a second, what? You know, and so I went and looked it up and found it. It's very easy to find out on the internet. And I've developed, got links to it for my article. But there were two pledges involved here. One is a citizen's pledge. And I don't want to go through that in great detail. It's just saying as a citizen that, you know, we just want to have good training. We want to hold our elected officials to the fire in terms of making sure that we're not putting politics into the curriculum and anything like that. But the other one, though, is a candidate pledge, and that's the one Christy Noem signed. And this is to be signed by anybody in politics who has something to do with schools. So like a school board person or anything related to the school, this is what they would want to do. And let me just, there are just 4 points on that. It says, number one, restore honest patriotic education that cultivates in our children a profound love for our country. Number two, promote a curriculum that teaches that all children are created equal, have equal moral value under God, our Constitution and the law, and are members of a national community united by our founding principles. And number three, prohibit any curriculum that pits students against one another in the basis of race or sex. And number four, prevent schools from politicizing education by prohibiting any curriculum that requires students to protest and lobby during or after school. And like I said, you know, when I went to school in the 60s, that this was just common sense. I can't believe we had to put this to writing on that, you know?
You're right. I mean, I would say 95%+. There was probably a few lunatics. I didn't know any of them. I wasn't aware of them, but there may have been some somewhere. But virtually every American agreed with these principles, and now it's controversial. And it's not because the people on the right have changed their opinion. It's because the left has become the lunatic left. And I find that interesting because, you know, they always talk about how the Republican Party has gotten out of control. Oh, it's like, no, the Republican Party isn't, you know, think back who the nominee was in 1964.
64.
Yeah, 64.
Oh,
it was
Barry Goldwater.
Barry Goldwater. Barry Goldwater could, someone with his views and his beliefs could win the nomination today. He would not have a hard time. Now, his views would be very compatible. In 1980, Ronald Reagan's views, again, not dissimilar from Barry Goldwater's, would be very compatible in our party. Now ask yourself, do you think that, could the Democrats of the 60s and the 70s win a national election? They couldn't even get the nomination. I don't even think Bill Clinton could get the nomination in today's party.
And he was... Barry Goldwater, because I remember that election quite well. I was only in fifth grade at the time, but we knew about it and we talked about it, and it was against LBJ. That was LBJ's last time running, and most of the kids voted for LBJ. They did like a little straw poll in there, and I kept saying, well, why do you hate Goldwater so much? Oh, because he'd use the bomb. Yeah. He'd use the bomb. That was the excuse at the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And so LBJ wins the straw poll, and I thought, God, why would he do that? Why would he go on out and use the bomb? That didn't make any sense to me. You know, you'd use a real threat. Whatever.
And ironically, it was LBJ that prolonged the Vietnam War. So he was the one that actually used the bomb.
Yeah, absolutely. And all for the military-industrial complex is, you know, Eisenhower filmed that. I'm reading a good book now. It's an old book. It's on Churchill by Lord Moran, who was Churchill's physician. It was remarkable what this guy was thinking about when it came to the hydrogen bomb. And Churchill was saying, look, the Russians are not going to use the bomb on us. This was his argument to Ike. They're not going to use it on us because they know we, the Americans, can outgun them 10 to 1. So what are they going to do? Start something that we're going to just kill off civilization? It doesn't make any sense. But if anybody knew the situation, it was Churchill. Churchill was the glue that was really holding everything together, and it's a fascinating read. Churchill by Mark Moran.
You know, when you first I have to make a disclaimer. They say any of us, Tim, who remember the 60s weren't really there. So,
but
that as it may, some of us do remember the 60s, and we remember these things that seem so out there that they couldn't possibly happen. But that was 1962 when they threw prayer out of school. It was 1963 when abortion became legal. And it was the 60s that really kind of ushered in what we're dealing with now. How did they usher in this 1776 pledge? What do you think got started in the 60s that has now made it important that we have to have a 1776 pledge?
Right. I mean, we've just gone too far off the deep end with the liberals. Let me say something, too, about the early 60s on that. My parents were Republicans, and they voted for Richard Nixon over Kennedy in the election in 1960. Mm-hmm. And I remember all that. Yes, I was a wee lad, but yes, I do remember that. And then when Kennedy got assassinated on the thing is... it was a very sad day. And I remember the day they told us. I was in fourth grade social studies class with Mr. Hamilton. That's how good my memory is. And I remember how they were told, we were told, and we were released from school early that day because of the assassination. And I remember how those were dark days. Everybody on our street, be it Democrat or Republican, They felt horrible out to think. That's how we felt about the institution. We had a lot of respect for the institution of the presidency. We don't have that anymore. Mm-hmm. That's been taken away from us.
Yeah. My family's been Republican. I'm a Republican my whole life, conservative. And my mother we lived in Virginia, and I grew up in Virginia. She took me as a, you know, basically a four-year-old, I guess I was, down to... you know, when the caisson with the casket and so forth was going through the streets. And, you know, because you're right. It wasn't that this was my president or your president. He was the president, and we respected the president, and we've lost that now, and it's unfortunate.
And think about it. In all three branches out of here, George, there's no respect for anybody. There's no respect at the Supreme Court. Look at our hearings now. They're a joke. They're making a mockery of selecting Supreme Court justices. Look at what's going on in the Senate and the House. These guys don't have any love for each other. I mean, I have never in my life seen it like this. And you were talking to me about George McGovern. Yes, George McGovern was uber liberal at that time. In fact, I was involved with the Nixon campaign back in that age at school, which was not a very popular thing to do, but I did it. But we have no respect for our institution of government. What they're trying to do is kill our respect for government. And I think that's all very sad. We have got the greatest country in the world. In the Churchill book even clearly brings it up. Churchill had ultimately respect. It was his contention that we took over in 1944. That's really what it is. It was all up to the Americans at that point. And We got great resources. We got a lot of how-to. We got some great spirit, some entrepreneurial spirit out there. We have the finest constitution, the best form of government out there, and they want to destroy it all, and I don't buy it.
Right.
And this is why pledges like this are necessary.
Absolutely. Well said. Well, Tim, we're up against the break, so we got to say goodbye for a moment here, but not permanently. We will be back right after this. To our viewers and listeners, I'm George Landreth, and of course my co-host Sharon Engel, the queen of conservatism out in Nevada, and we've got our guest Tim Bryce, and we will all be back momentarily, so don't go away. There's lots more to discuss, so we'll see you on the flip side.
Welcome back, listeners, to the Conservative Commandos radio show and to the AUN TV network. We are coming to you from the MyPillow studios. And, of course, use that promo code AUNTV when you go to MyPillow.com and get a 30 to 60% discount. And we've been talking with our guest, Tim Bryce of the Bryce's Right blog, about some articles that he's been, he always writes. This man is a prolific writer. He has written a book. You all need to get that before you vote. Learn how your government works. So we're going to talk, kind of switch gears, but not too much. We've been talking about the 1776 pledge, but he wrote another article on tyranny. And that's kind of where we're headed, isn't it, Tim? So tell us about your latest article and the tyrants.
My latest article is How to Become a Tyrant, and I called it Must See TV. I found it by accident on Netflix. It's a six-part series. Each episode is about 25 to 30 minutes long, and it's talking about what are the attributes of a tyrant and how do they assume power and how do they go in. Yes, they talk about Hitler, Stalin, Idi Amin, Gaddafi, Hussein, Fidel Castro, Mao Zedong, all the guys we're familiar with, at least whatever. But first of all, it's an excellent educational documentary for young people, and I hope they all watch this stuff because it talks about the evil in man out there and how they came about. It had 6 points, and let me just throw that out there real quick. I don't want to go in detail on it yet. The 6 points he had on how to become a tyrant, and he writes it as if it's a book itself. He says, how to seize power. That was the first thing. And number two, how to crush your rivals, either through legal or illegal means. How to control the truth. Number five is reinventing the country into the utopia you always wanted. And number six, seek immortality. And that's basically talking about the North Koreans with the Kims. You realize that they've been in power for 70 years now? It's kind of scary, whatever. So you read all this, if you listen to them, and I sat there for my lesson. My point of view is, wow, a lot of this stuff is happening in our civilization right here in the United States. For example, they talk about how to crush your rivals, like I mentioned before, controlling the law, that the only interpretation that matters is the dictators, how to control the truth, particularly through the media, altering history. Sound familiar? Supplanting religion with something else, such as socialism, replacing the flag, suppressing civil liberties, such as freedom of speech, religion, and access to firearms, crush protests, but let your supporters run amok, such as Antifa and Black Lives Matter, reorient people, change their values, enforce political correctness, and finally, indoctrination of youth. This all came out of the program. I just made notes. I kept writing notes as I go along. Does any of that sound familiar today?
It's sadly scary. Yes. Sadly, yes. And the funny thing is, but you're right, this is how it's done. Sometimes tyrants take power through physical force, but quite frankly, a lot of times they worm their way in. If you look at Hitler, he won an election.
Absolutely.
And then once he won that election, he used the powers at his disposal to consolidate power and make himself a tyrant. So, you know, in other words, he didn't declare some sort of civil war on the rest of society and beat them back with tanks and guns. You know, so I think we have to be a little more aware of our history in the world to see how tyrants work. But I see a lot of what I would call tyrannical instincts. We saw this last year during 2020. A lot of governors exhibited tyrannical instincts. We see a president now. They like to say that Mr. Trump was authoritarian, but he didn't silence people. He didn't put people in jail. He didn't use various governmental apparatuses to punish his enemies. But we see that happening consistently in leftward-leaning administrations. My organization was targeted by the IRS during the Obama years because we have that nasty word in our organization, freedom. You shouldn't use that word. I guess they considered it the F word.
Right.
I don't know.
But and another thing this brings on up, as you mentioned, to children, to younger people, is the millions of people that were murdered as part of the purges and so on. Joseph Stalin instituted 3 purges in his lifetime. I mean, not only hundreds of thousands of people murdered, but another couple million sent off to labor camps and prison farms, you know. Yeah.
To starve to death and work to death. I mean, that's the one thing you have to understand. You weren't sent off to those places to be rehabilitated. You were put to those places to die a long, slow death of starvation and being worked to death.
And how you were accused really doesn't matter, because he makes up the lies. You could be free, you could be absolutely innocent of all charges, and didn't matter. You went, and Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein also did the same thing. Gaddafi even took guys to the big sports arena that they had and would hang them right in the middle, fill up the stadium with all kinds of people. They think they're going to see a big game of soccer or something like that. No, they watch them, public executions, guys getting hung right there in the field. Yeah. And a lot of them, they got the message real quick, we don't screw with this guy.
Yeah, well, and Saddam Hussein used to put people feet first into those shredder machines,
yeah,
designed for to shred up wood,
right?
Alive, and
oh, yeah,
start with their feet and work their way up. And the point of that was, again, to have it be a brutal, horrific, terrible torture and then death. And that was to send a message, which is, don't mess with me. Don't make me angry. Don't displease me, or this might happen to you. And that's just how they work.
So,
well, we're talking about past tyrants, but we've got some right now living right today in world society, and we're not calling them out, are we?
That's right. The other thing I closed the article with, they're really calling a tyrant. This is how to do it if you're a single person. Here's how you go through that. And my argument is, well, what if you're not a single person? What if you got a whole political party out there trying to do this? And that's what I think is really happening. I really want to know who is calling the shots for the Democrats, because it sure is as heck not Uncle Joe, because Uncle Joe's not smart enough to do that. Plain and simple. I want to know who is doing it. Where has Barack Obama been lately?
Well, I'll give you some examples of tyranny that actually cost lives. People just say, oh, well, this is small tyranny. It's like, no, it's not. You had governors who made it illegal for you to go to your doctor and get certain treatments and medicines that were safe and used around the world, but they said you couldn't use it. Why? Because they didn't want you to. It was in their judgment, you shouldn't. And that's tyrannical. And people died. There's been a peer-reviewed study that said that if you had used some of these medicines in America widely early on, we would have reduced our deaths by over half. So that means half of the people who are now dead, we can lay at the feet of everyone from, you know, Dr. Fauci to the various governors who had tyrannical instincts.
Right. And I heard Fauci and Rand Paul got into it today.
Yeah, we actually discussed that earlier before we brought you on.
Yeah, so I was watching it earlier, and I thought Rand Paul stated his case properly, you know, but Fauci didn't seem to understand what he was saying. So anyway, yeah. It's kind of sad on that thing. So yeah, again, from a historical perspective, this paper is good, but it also it really gives shivers up your spine when you consider what's happening today. That's my main thing on it. The next thing I'm working on is, and I see this a lot, is about voting and immigration. And you know, I've noticed in the press that one of the things they talk about is voter suppression. And I don't care whether it's printed or on television or whether it's voter suppression, voter suppression, voter suppression. Now, wait a second. That's not voter suppression. What they're talking about is election integrity. Oh, no, Tim, you got it all wrong. It's voter suppression. It's Jim Crow, which most of the people don't even understand Jim Crow anymore. So, you know, which is what their party came up with, not our party. Right. Remember, we were the guys who helped free the slaves. We had this guy named Lincoln, you know, and now they wanted to get rid of his statue. Yeah.
The civil rights movement was passed on the with the overwhelming support of the Republican Party, and for decades the Democratic Party blocked it, and finally the Republicans were able to overcome them. Quick question: free speech. When we hear people shutting down free speech, is that kind of a precursor? For example, if you're going to go in and attack a country, you shut down their communications, you bomb their radars, you do certain things to prevent them from, this seems to me that's a similar kind of what you might call early tactic.
Right. Communications is very much within all of these guys from what the show was talking about in here. Very interesting, too, when they talked about the tyrants, how did they come into power? They wanted to be portrayed as good old boys. Really. And I'm talking about Hitler and so on and all the other guys. They saw themselves as part of the people, you know, and it showed they had this one picture showing Stalin playing the accordion for a group of people like that. And I go, Stalin knew how to do an accordion. But they were very serious about it. You know, he says they wanted to be portrayed as good old boys, thereby they can, you know, embrace the populace. So it's just absolutely fascinating to watch them go up and do all of this. The other thing they capitalize on is calamities, like financial calamities, like the Depression, things like that.
Like the coronavirus.
Yeah, the coronavirus.
Exactly.
Think about it. People, why is that a good time to go? Because people are looking or desperate for answers for something like that. And if you got some line of garbage, they're going to gravitate to you.
Well, we're up against the clock, Tim. So tell our audience how they can follow you, how they can read both of these articles, get a hold of you, communicate with you.
It's simply at timbryce.com, TimBryce, timbryce.com, or just do a search on Google or Yahoo and you'll find me, Tim Bryce, BRYCE.
Well, we're so grateful for you being our guest today. Thank you so much, Tim Bryce. Take care and God bless.
Keep the faith, my friends.